All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being so gracious. By virtue of the fact that we have a lot to go through, I might go a bit quicker. Is today being recorded? Yes, fantastic. So I don't have to. So if it's being recorded, we're good to go. Excellent. So we've got past. So let's go to slide two. So after you have determined where you are, is everybody together? Are we all good? So we've got that. We've determined the picture. We've determined our destination. Now we begin. So the next thing that you need to do is you need to determine honestly where you are now and what it will take to get there. Listen carefully. The way Jesus put it is this. He put it in Luke 14, 28 to 30. He said this. He said, when you have a project, don't count the cost of starting. Count the cost of finishing. So when you've determined your destination, now you step back. So let's say you wanted to go on holiday. Now you step back and you say, can I afford it? Can I get time off work? Do I have the right clothes? Have I booked my ticket? Have I booked my hotel? Have I done this? Notice, you take stock of where you are. But notice the one thing you do, ladies and gentlemen, and this is key in achievement. Don't plan to start. Plan to finish. A lot of people, two or three people have come to me with an amazing pilot magazine. And I've always asked that, what about the next 12 episodes? Also, no, we just want to print this one and then we'll do all the rest. I say, every time I say, I won't see you again. This magazine, this is the only one you're going to do, because they put all their effort into the pilot. And because they have not thought about what to do next, even when there is enthusiasm about the pilot, they can't respond. Plan to finish. That means think university while you're doing your GCSEs and A-levels. And this is key for anybody who is single. Don't just plan to get married. Plan to have a successful marriage. How? Watch a couple, or no. Serve a couple that you admire. And it's key, because when you serve a couple that you admire, you will learn the skills necessary that you will need when you meet the person. Because many times, by the time you get married, it's almost too late to prepare. So determine honestly where you are, and then make sure you have what it takes to get to the end. The key element here is this. You've got to have the resolve of faith. And that is very simple. It is this. Isaiah 50 verses 4 to 10 is key. Set your face like a flint. That against all odds, I am not going to give up until I get there. The door you think is locked, and I'm prophesying to somebody, you will realize it actually just needs to be pushed and it will open on your behalf. Amen? So count the cost of finishing a project before you start. Are we together? Have we got that? Okay, let's move to the next point. I did say it will be a little bit quicker. Now, principle. Write your idea down. Write your plan down. So if you haven't written your plan down, more than likely, it will not come to pass. Now, what I want you to realize, let me give you, that's a biblical principle. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, write it on tables, so he that reads it may run with it. Is that in your Bible? Habakkuk 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, listen carefully. What you must realize is this. Every time you read what you have written down, you get the same burst of enthusiasm that you had when the idea came to you for the first time. So if your plans are not written down, then when the enthusiasm drops, you won't be able, it's very difficult to pick yourself up. And what happens? Life will take over. But when you write it down, like I said, a piece of paper never forgets. It never forgets. Are we together? Write it down. The way to get something into your heart is through your eyes and through your ears. That leads to an understanding. When it is written down, when you read it, and when you say it, your heart will begin to believe it. Are we together? And then and each time you go over it, the idea will grow and grow and grow. So when you start, you'll know this is what comes next, this is what comes next. So write the idea down. Let me speak about wealth. 80% of the wealth of the world is in the hands of 2% of the population. And this is key. Only 2% of the world's population have a written list of daily goals. Everybody else just takes the days as they come. Please hear me well. And I say this carefully. Rich people always live in tomorrow. Their goals are always written down. Poor people inevitably live for today. Keep it in mind. Write your goals down, because that's when you will confront the worst fears you have. Because now it is in black and white. And each time you read it, the enthusiasm necessary to bring it to pass will be renewed. Are we together? Okay, let's go to the third one. So that's point three, yes? Okay, let's go to point four. One step at a time. Key. Break the task into achievable, prioritized steps. And let me bring this home to you. If you don't break the task into steps, then there's a possibility you may do step five when you should be doing step one. And step one, two, three, and four, more than likely, are boring. Step five is interesting. Preparation is boring. Preparation is always in private. Break the task into prioritized steps. Because then you realize this is what I have to do next, this is what I have to do next, this is what I have to do next. And this is key. Can you write in your notes, ladies and gentlemen, the word diligence? Diligence is not just doing the right things. And diligence is doing the right things at the right time. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He will stand before kings, but he will not stand before mean men. Why? Because when you are diligent, by the time God promotes you, you're ready. I'll give you an example from the Bible. Joseph. By the time Joseph stood in front of Pharaoh, he had been diligent. He had done the right things at the right times. So when God promoted him, his success kept on going. Are we together? Are we together? All right. So break the task into one step at a time. Now, how many people have said previously, I do not have enough time? Let me see your hands. I don't have enough time. Okay. I'm now going to teach you how to create time. Because time can be created. Time can be created. The first thing is foresight and planning. Make the most of time. The better planned you are, the more time you will have. Because the time it takes for you to think, Let me give you an example. Let me make it practical. Let's say you iron a shirt every day and it takes you 15 minutes. That means, let's say you're going to work, that's 7 shirts at 15 minutes. That's about an hour and 30 minutes, if my mathematics is right. If on Sunday you plan so that your shirts are washed and ready to be ironed on Sunday evening, and then you are focused enough to iron all the shirts on Sunday evening, even if you're watching television, what have you done? You have saved yourself 15 minutes every single day. You have created time. Are we together? Foresight and planning will create time. That's one. Two, wisdom and advice. wisdom and advice. If somebody gives you directions, you will get there faster than if you were to look for it yourself. So, can I give you a piece of advice? Read somebody else's autobiography who has achieved what you want to achieve. Number three. These are time machines. This is how to create time. Number three, routine. Save thinking and decision time and get into a routine. Because once you're in a routine, you naturally do things faster. Let me give you an example. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy it a lot. The first time I make a particular meal, it takes me a long time. The kitchen looks like a bomb site. I'm very happy with the result. It takes me 2.5 hours or 3 hours. I'm happy because I get the result. But after I've done it for 2 or 3 years, I am almost doing something else. I'm working automatically. I know what I'm picking up. I'm not thinking about it. It now happens faster. Does that make sense? Create time by making sure you build routines. The more regular your routines, the more time you will have. And by the way, can I say this carefully? Can I say this now? Let me move forward. No, let's go on. If you would like a reference, Ecclesiastes 10:10, but I will move to the next one. So that's one step at a time. We're done and create time. So remember, this is all about achieving your goals. Now, this may sound really silly. Write in your notes, please. Not done is not done. Finish each task. Let me say this, and I want you to remember it, so I've paused. What happens next is doomed if the previous task is not finished. Imagine baking a cake and not taking the shells off the eggs to save time. Would that be a nice cake to eat? No. Finish each task. That means finish the planning stage, finish the preparations, finish your due diligence, and then start. It might mean you start a little later, but I can guarantee you will be going longer. And ladies and gentlemen, Psalm 1 and Joshua 1:8, finishing is in your DNA. Psalm 1 says that the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, neither does he stand in the way of sinners, neither does he sit in the seat of the scornful. The Bible then says in verse 2, Psalm 1 verse 2, that but he meditates in the law of his Lord day and night. In the law of his Lord he delights. Look at verse 3. The Bible says he is a repetitive success. finish what you start. Finishing is in your DNA. And I know finishing can be tedious. But finish the task. What comes next is doomed if the previous task is not done. Key element. Make good decisions, not good excuses. Please hear me well. The Word of God does not give you the luxury of excuses, because the Word of God holds within it a solution to every problem you face. You say, only God can solve this problem. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 4, clearly says, 2 Peter 1, reading from verses 1 to 4, clearly says that if you take hold of the promises of God, the characteristics and behaviors of God will come to you. So hear me well. Don't make good excuses, make good choices. James 1, verse 5. The Bible says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and does not upbraid. That means never be afraid to ask God to make you wise or to make a good choice. Are we together? Are we together? Let's go to the next point. Now, this is key. All or nothing. Be prepared to take risks. You will only attempt what you are willing to make a sacrifice for. Only attempt what you are willing to make a sacrifice for. Now listen carefully. There's no middle ground. Either you believe God or you don't. Take a risk on God. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by risk. I was going through King's Cross Station. I was on one escalator, and King's Cross has four. So two will be going down, two will be coming up. I was on the middle one. On the left-hand one was a younger gentleman with his girlfriend, and he was holding a laptop and he had no case, which I thought was unusual. That why didn't you're carrying a laptop, looks expensive. Where's the case? I thought it was unusual. The man in front of me, a Caucasian gentleman, standing in front of me, looked as well. Now, I'm streetwise, so I looked and I looked away that, look, I don't need trouble, life is good. But he kept looking. The young man looked across and he thought, what are you looking at? And the man thought, nothing. What are you talking to me for? The young man got irate. And now I am three steps behind this gentleman. The young man hands his laptop. And please, ladies, when you're looking for the thug you want to date, because that's what you need on the street, be prepared for the consequences. He hands the laptop to his girlfriend, whose eyes realize that now we have trouble. He gets to the bottom of the stairs exactly the same time as this gentleman. I get there three steps afterwards. I have a choice to make. Do I get involved or do I not? Listen carefully. Be prepared to take a risk for what you believe in. I believe that nobody should ever face trouble on their own. That's how I'm wired. We may talk about that tomorrow. So I take two steps. I stand in between both of them. So the young man runs into me, not the gentleman. Screams at me a bit. And I said, listen, let it go. He looks at me, says, no problems. Turns around and walks away. The gentleman thanks me and goes on. You have to be prepared to take a risk for what you have believed God for. I believe God that I am here to make a difference. That means I can't see somebody in trouble and walk by. If you are not willing to take a risk on what you believe, please accept you do not believe. because the proof of faith is an action. Does that make sense? Okay, let me keep going. We're almost there. You've done really well. Key element about achievement. Prepare to give away the benefits of your journey. That means what you have worked so hard for, prepare to allow somebody else to start from where you have stopped. You have to prepare to give somebody else the benefits of what you're about to achieve. And I will put this in this way because I'm very conscious of the time. They will pay you the most for what you would do for free. If there's something you would do for free, they will pay you the most money for it. Why? Because when you're paid to do what you enjoy, you will always excel at what you are doing. Does that make sense? Prepare to give to somebody else the benefits of your journey and your struggle. Prepare to make somebody else's life better. Are we together? Are we together so far? Are we together? Last one. Two scriptures before I say the last fact. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 and Ecclesiastes 3 verse 14. Listen to what I'm about to say. Number one, the Bible says God makes everything beautiful in its own time. The Bible then says he does it, and the Bible says that he has placed eternity in the hearts of men. So nobody knows what he does from beginning to end. Listen to me very carefully. Ecclesiastes 3:14 is this. Whatsoever God does, it is what? Forever. Nothing can be taken from it and nothing can be added to it. And God does it so that men would fear before him. Is that in your Bible? Now, listen to me very carefully. That means when God starts something, he expects it to finish successfully. Do we agree? Now, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, write down this scripture, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. God says, when my word departs from my mouth, it may not return to me until it has achieved that which it says. The Bible says that. The Bible says in Isaiah 44, reading from verses 24 to 26, that God says, I am the Lord that I stretched out the heavens by myself. I established the earth that I will, when I say something, it will happen against all odds. Badger's paraphrase. And so this is the last thing I want you to remember. Impossible only becomes a reality if you decide to stop. Impossible will only become a reality if you decide to stop. Let me back that up with a story and then I'll pray with you. Hear me well. When Ruth, come with me please, ladies and gentlemen, to the dusty roads of Moab. We see three ladies, all widows, on their way to Israel. The older lady stops and turns to the younger ones and says, listen, God has dealt me a hard hand. Go back to your family. The younger ladies say, no, we will go with you. We've always loved you. We loved your children. We are on your side. The journey goes on. The day gets hotter. Things get more difficult. The lady turns again and says, listen, I don't want you to come back with me. I'm the one that's suffering. You guys are young enough. Go and get married again. And one of them takes the opportunity. She says, listen, I love you, but I'm going home. Ruth decides to say the following, that do not ask me to leave you again. And then she makes a statement. She says, may Jehovah, the Lord, do so to me or more, if anything but death separates me and you. Where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. And she makes an amazing statement. She says, and your God will be my God. Listen carefully. Ruth has been married for 10 years. No children. It takes at least 2.5 years to walk as a widow in the cool of the day or in the night, going from watering place to watering place, village to village. So she is now 13 years outside her prime. She arrives in Israel at the time of the barley harvest. She stays for the wheat harvest and the barley harvest. Add another 4 years. She's now 17 or 18 years outside her prime. By now, her hands are gnarled. By now, she has been in the sun. She's worked hard. She's way outside her prime. And then one day, a man called Boaz comes to the field, and he's kind to her. 2 years later, he says, I will marry you. Let's do the calculation. She is now about 15 years outside her prime. Children were no longer a possibility. But she never stopped. And the Bible makes this statement in Ruth chapter 4. And I'm speaking to someone. Somebody in here was planning to give up. The Bible says, and the Lord gave Ruth conception. What everybody else thought was impossible, because she refused to stop, God made it possible. Impossible will only become a reality if you decide to stop. Ladies and gentlemen, what you wrote at the top of your piece of paper is God's desire for you to achieve. My prayer is this. May the Holy Spirit fill the gaps on your inside so that the dreams, hopes, and aspirations that you have on your sheets of paper will become a reality so that somebody else will be blessed as well as you. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you.